Good morning, ladies. Hello. My name is Renee Donnell, and I am one of the mentors here at Crossings. And I have the pleasure today to introduce our guest speaker. But before I do, I'm going to tell you a little bit about her. Some of my readers. Over 35 years ago, God radically changed Karen's heart and her life's direction through a Bible study in her church home in Ardmore, Oklahoma. She has since been passionate about growing in relationship with the Lord and sharing the Word of God with others. She is the author of Heavenly Minded for Earthly Good, an inductive Bible study that reveals Scripture's blueprints of heaven. Following a career in architectural design, Karen went into full-time ministry, teaching Bible studies, writing Sunday school curriculum, speaking at women's retreats, and organizing women's conferences locally and abroad. Among her most treasured opportunities are leading women's conferences in Uganda, Africa, and sharing God's love with Syrian refugees in Jordan. She has hosted Getaway with God retreats for many years, drawing hundreds of women across the state together. One of Karen's favorite aspects of organizing conferences is providing opportunity for women to utilize their gifts, whether in speaking, praying, ministering, serving, or leading worship. Her greatest hope is to see the body of Christ united, equipped, and fully alive in Christ. Karen and her husband, Don, recently moved to Edmond, Oklahoma from Ardmore to be closer to their children and loads of grandchildren. And I'm just gonna add this, she has two children, but one of them, her claim to fame is she is Taylor Rosh Cobb's mother. So please help me welcome Karen Chafin.
They said I'd be on when I stepped up here, so I'm glad it wasn't while I was singing. You are glad it wasn't while I was singing, too. Is it okay if I move this over? Kind of get away. Okay. I'm excited for y'all's next study on heaven. It's a subject near and dear to me. So, and Jennifer Rothschild's awesome. So I hope y'all can all come to this. So anyway, glad you're here this morning. With a little interruption last week, I was really praying God make somebody come. Because I really was excited to be included in this group. It's very dear to me, as that it has been very important to my daughter. Many of you have poured into her over the years, and so I thank you for this. I thank you for being women that would come, that you see the importance of a time like this to be poured into, so that then you go and you pour into your families, right, and your friends. So I came across a story that Taylor had put up on Facebook 10 years ago. It was in my memories, and it came up last week, just perfect timing. She would have been in mom's group then, mother of a 7, 5, 3, and 1-year-old at the time. So I'm sure she came excited to have all those four babies taken care of for a couple hours, right? And the post was about Annie, her 5-year-old. Who couldn't sleep, and she kept getting up, and she said she had scary monsters in her thoughts. And Taylor admitted she just wanted her to go to sleep, right? So she could go to sleep. But she went in, she knelt by Annie's bed and listened to her very fearful heart, and they talked about how there is no scary thing in the presence of Jesus. And that when she feels afraid to call his name. So Annie began to whisper it, Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. And put her head next to hers, their cheeks were pressed together. And then Taylor began to sing songs with Jesus's name in them. Annie started to physically relax a little bit, the headlock on her loosened some, and soon began to drift to sleep. So Taylor thought, I can sneak out now. And she stood to make sure she was asleep. She thought, one last hymn. And she started to sing. And to her surprise, Annie joined in kind of a sleep singing type of thing to the song, "'Tis So Sweet to Trust in Jesus." And Annie knew the whole hymn. Taylor had no idea that she'd even heard it, much less known all the words by heart. And when I read that, I thought, maybe while Taylor was in here in her mom's group, Annie was in the five-year-old group, and a volunteer was singing that song or teaching that song to her. So when Annie started to sing, Taylor wrote this, "I melted, I absolutely liquefied, the most intimate moments with my child and my Lord combined. In the daily grind of parenthood, I often forget how much God loves my kids, the joy they bring him, how precious their concerns are to his heart. There's no Jesus Jr. with little ones. He's big with them, maybe bigger than I let him be with me. I get lost in my worries and checklists as though he hasn't proved or and or as my daughter sang in sleep thick mumble moments ago, oh, for grace to trust him more." And I thought, isn't that why we come to gatherings like this? Why you make the effort to bring your children here for grace to trust him more? Amen? Because it is a scary world. I've got a few scary monsters in my thoughts as well. And we so need each other, and we need Jesus. And the fact that you value this, it's a big deal, a really big deal. One day you're gonna thank your 20 or 30-year-old self that you prioritized this time. Because the best, absolute best thing you can do for your children is to pursue Jesus. Not one of those perfect, I'm at church every time the doors are open kind of relationships, but to pursue him because you value him. He is worthy of it all because he is the source, isn't he, of our joy, of our contentment, our peace, our hope, our life, and no scary thing has power in the presence of Jesus. So you've been through, what, 7 weeks of prayer, right? Probably a huge download and all that you've learned. And you might be thinking, what now? Where do I go from here? And one thing that you might try is just to think about, maybe in your discussion groups today, one or two things that really stood out to you, that caught your heart. And focus in on those things. Put those to work. Because that's probably what God highlighted just for you. Or maybe it was one of the videos and one of the speakers, you thought to yourself, I want to pray like that. Or I want to love Jesus like her. And I just encourage you, if that's true, just pray that, because that's a prayer God will absolutely 100% answer, because he wants that for you too. One thing I found is that prayer is caught as well as taught. So I encourage you to participate in prayer circles, to let people pray for you. When they ask, say yes. And then to pray over your friends, pray over your children, pray over people you don't even know. Because I've found strangely that even people who don't believe in God will say yes to a prayer. I think it's because people just yearn to be prayed for and to be prayed over. And truly, all we have to do is be willing to let God's love just pour out of us. Answer prayer isn't dependent upon our eloquence, praise God, or our confidence, or a certain structure, or how many scriptures we quote in it. All those are helpful. But truly, we just love, let God's love fill our mouths and pour out on them. When I was in Ardmore, I taught a lot of Bible study classes, and like she read in that bio, led some retreats. And when I left, people felt a little inclined to thank me for different things. But the thing I heard that surprised me more than anything else was, "Do you remember when you prayed for me?" And it might have been a long time ago, but that prayer impacted them because God came and impacted them. He responds when we pray, even if we don't see it. I have had one person complain, though, when I prayed over them, and that was my daughter. She was in elementary school, and when I would take her to school in the mornings, oftentimes that was the last time I got a chance to pray for her. So I would pray, and she was in the back seat, and she thought my eyes must be closed up there driving. And so she was scared to death the whole time that we would drive. She told me that just a few years ago. So maybe don't pray while you're driving your kids to school, but pray. Jesus said this, John 16:24, ask and you will receive, that your joy will be made full. You and I were created to move the heart of God and to rejoice when he responds. I mean, think about it. How amazing is it that we are given the audience with God? And when he answers and he does things that we could never do for ourselves, what joy that brings to your life. He hears our every prayer. A few years ago, I was one of three speakers at a women's retreat in Medill, Oklahoma, and we were all given the same scripture to speak from. That always concerns me a little bit, especially when I'm the last one. You know, they're going to get all the good stuff, and I'm going to be up there not having anything left to say. Lots of trust there, you can tell. So anyway, I was sitting on the front pew, and the first woman went up, and I don't think she even mentioned the scripture. She gave a powerful testimony, but it didn't tie into the scripture. And then the second woman got up, whom I knew, and she was a Sunday school teacher, just a powerhouse teacher, and she did the same thing. She did not refer to the scripture and gave this incredible testimony, and then I'm thinking, oh my gosh, I missed the memo. I'm not supposed to teach. I'm supposed to share a testimony or something. So I'm panicking, sending up some SOS prayers to God saying, if you don't want to use any of this, just tell me now what I can say. What do you want me to do? And I'll set it aside. And I heard the Holy Spirit whisper to me, you've got this. And I was like, whew, yes. So I gathered up my notes and started to walk across the platform, and I heard him speak again and say, because I've got you. You've got this because I've got you. And then when I was praying over what to speak this morning, that story came to mind, those words came to mind, and I felt like the Lord wanted to speak that over each and every one of you today, to say to you, no matter what you're going through, no matter your struggles or your failures or your fears or your worries, no matter what, he says, you've got this because I've got you. There's a beautiful scripture in Isaiah 43:1-7, some portions of it. God says, fear not, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by name. You are mine. And when you pass through the waters, excuse me, I will be with you. And through the rivers, they shall not overwhelm you. And when you walk through the fire, you shall not be burned. The flame shall not consume you. For I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. You are precious in my eyes and honored. And I love you. You've got this because I've got you. We make Christianity into so many things. But at its heart, it's simply a triune God, a Father, Son, and Holy Spirit who wants this relationship with us to be with us. The central promise of Scripture is, I will be with you. Do not be afraid. Don't worry. I see you. I know you. I've got this. I've got you. The Hebrew word for intercession actually means to meet. So isn't that what we all want to do when we pray? It's just to have a meeting with Jesus. And remarkably, he has given us full access. It's in the book of Hebrews, it talks about how we go boldly into the throne room. We can go with confidence because he's opened up the way through his sacrifice. In Revelation, there's a scripture that says that the door to heaven has been opened. Come up here. Come on up. He's invited us. He entreats us. He expects us, anticipates our coming. We go and we can find grace and mercy to help us in our time of need. I think that's a scripture that I've got up for them. So we go and meet with God, not only for our needs, but also for the needs of others, for the needs of our children. Sometimes when I intercede for somebody else, I'll picture myself in front of the throne and I'll have linked arms with whoever I'm bringing before Jesus. And so, oh, thank you. This wasn't happening before I got up here. So anyway, walk up there with the person, linked arms, and just say, God, here's my friend, here's my child, and intercede that way. It's a good visual in which to pray very boldly to God. Sometimes we step into that throne room to gain strength for the battle over our kids or for the battle with our children. Sometimes we need to lay down an agenda for them, for ourselves, to be filled with the love that you need to parent, to navigate a very difficult world. When my kids were teenagers, my youth pastor invited me to a youth ministry conference, and I wasn't in youth ministry, so I wasn't sure why he included me, except I think he knew I'd like the speakers. And at the end of one session, there was a call to the altar for everybody involved in youth ministry. And since I wasn't, I stayed seated. And then I heard this little question from the Lord that came, as the mother of two youths, do you not think you're in youth ministry? And I was like, oh, well, yes, I guess I am. And I realized then that though I had turned a lot of things over in my life to the Lord, I really hadn't turned my children over. You know, I assumed my love was enough, right? I loved them with everything in me like you do yours. And I hadn't thought that my love was inadequate for them. So evidently, he knew I needed more. And I went up to the altar and they prayed over me. And that's all I recall at this time. But when I got home, in the middle of the night, 3 a.m., that first night, I woke up. Back then, I never woke up apart from an alarm. And I had this feeling, I'm supposed to get up and go pray for my children. So I did, and I stood at their doors because I was afraid if I hovered over them and they woke up, I'd scare them out to death, you know. So I stood at their door and just said a prayer. I didn't know anything that was particularly going on in their life, but I did feel the unction to pray. Then the next night, 3 a.m., up. The next night, 3 a.m., up. And this went on for a long time. I don't remember exactly how long, but I had no idea what might be happening in their lives, but I assumed that it was something important and that maybe it was a spiritual battle over them. Who knows? My kids had to take a lot of hard stands during those days, some lonely stands for Jesus, and maybe they were some defining moments for them, but for me, it definitely was. It was a major shift. Seeing myself as a youth minister, right? No longer thought my wisdom, my plan for their life, my insights as a mom were enough. No match for God's. He knew what was before my children, and he mercifully called me to pray. And he'll do the same thing for you. Just listen to those nudges and respond to them, even when you don't see anything obvious going on. It was a real insightful time for me to know that God was that active in their life. You've got this, Mom. because I've got you and I've got your children. When it comes to our kids, sometimes we got to pray about what to pray about, right? We don't even really know. He's always been teaching me to pray with him and not at him, because the purpose of prayer isn't to outline our agenda for God, right? It's to get God's agenda for us, or his vision for our children, to kind of take our hands off, let God. I find that to be hard at the time. It was easier for me to trust God myself, take risks myself, than to trust God always with my children, to see them take risks. That was harder for me. I shared with Terry Hubbard's Sunday school class about a time when the mama bear in me really rose up strong, because there was another mom that was working through the school system to remove something that my son had earned, rightfully, and I wanted to go in there and claim it, right? Anybody have that feeling before? And I knew it wouldn't be pretty, because I knew my attitude at that moment was not a pretty one. And so I also knew God didn't really want me to go in there and take it into my own hands, but to trust him. So the only way I could get rid of that instinct was to get down on my face, lay flat before the Lord, and just say, I'm not going to get up from here until you take this away from me. Because I knew if I would get up too soon, I'd get in the car and go and take care of that thing. And I was there for a while, I think. And he was good to remove it. And I look back on it, and he didn't fix it the way I would have fixed it. But it was so much better. So much better to let him be in charge of my son instead of me running interference. God is faithful, and he loves it when we trust him with our children. Mark Batterson, in his book, The Prayer Circle, wrote this: prayer turns ordinary parents into prophets who shape the destinies of their children, grandchildren, and every generation that follows. It's the way we write the future. It's the difference between letting things happen and making things happen. Isn't that good? Prayer is the way we can make things happen according to God's plan. We can declare God's word over them. We can tell them who they are in Christ, who they are to God. You probably all know the right word spoken at the right time can make such a difference in the life. I remember one time when my son messed up with a friend, and he was standing at the door to leave, and I heard the Lord say, give him grace. Instead of a lecture, instead of advice, it just hit me so hard, give him grace. And when I did, there were tears in his eyes, and I thought, wow, God knows what they need if we'll just tune in to him. They're given so many labels, children, right? Anybody have a label in here that you didn't necessarily like when you were a kid? And the good news is we can take those labels off of them and put God's label over them. When I was a little bit, as long as I can remember, my label was stubborn. I'm sure I didn't deserve any of that at all. But that's all I heard growing up, is how stubborn I was. Stubborn stories. And I tried so hard not to be stubborn. I can't imagine if I just let it loose what it would look like, because I was really working at it. Must have just oozed out of my ears or something. And I just heard story after story. Even at Taylor's wedding rehearsal, a cousin got up and told a stubborn story on me. Quite inappropriate, I thought. But a few years after that, I was in my mid-40s, and a pastor from Africa was visiting Ardmore, and he was very gifted at hearing from God. And a group gathered at one of my friend's house, and he began to speak words of encouragement over each one of them, specific things he couldn't have known that really were faith-building and just incredibly meaningful to each person there. And you'd sit in the circle, you know, in a chair. It was a little bit scary. But it was my turn, so I went up there. Everybody had gotten a good word, so I was just very, you know, excited about what am I here. And he began by saying, I see you at 5. And then he began this, stubborn. And then he yelled at stubborn. And you go, dying inside. I was just slinking down in that chair and my heart was breaking. I thought, I can't even escape it now with a pastor telling me how God sees me. And then he launched into this. You are stubborn for Jesus. You are stubborn for the Word of God. You are stubborn for the kingdom of God. And I was just transformed in that moment. I saw how God could use that awful label into something good in his kingdom. And I began to see myself differently as well. And we don't need a pastor from Africa to do that for our children. We can take what we see as problems and declare just the opposite over them. I have 7 grandchildren. 5 of them are Taylor's, and then my son has 2. And so I have 7 prayer journals, and I rotate through them. They have their names on them and everything. I write prayers, declare who they are in Christ, what great things they do, some special memories, giftings. If I've been in scripture that morning, there might be a scripture I speak over them and write it down. But when I see a problem, I'll declare the opposite and just speak out what God can do in their lives. Children so need their Christ identity to combat the identity the world wants to slap on them. I recently lost a 77-year-old brother-in-law who lost his identity. And I believe with all my heart that if he had known deeply who he was in Christ, that he might still be with us today. And we can do this now. We can establish who they are in Christ. Do it for yourself as well, who you are in Christ. Prayer turns ordinary parents and grandparents into prophets who shape the destiny of their children. And another bit of good news is there's no shelf life with prayers. They never expire. You remember the story of Zechariah when the angel appeared to him when he was on temple duty and declared that he and his wife Elizabeth were going to have a child, turned out to be John the Baptist, and they were very old at this time. And you might remember Zechariah questioned the angel a little bit. But the words of the angel in Luke 1, your prayer has been heard. And the original language can actually be translated to the prayer you no longer pray. Isn't that good? The prayer you no longer pray. Because I'm sure he quit praying for a child by that time because they were advanced in years. And I thought how easily we can give up or get frustrated with ourselves or forget, oh, that's not going to happen in that situation. And we just quit praying. But with God, all things are possible, and our prayers linger in his presence. They're like incense that rises to him. A few years ago, I went on a mission trip to San Francisco with a group from my church. We went to the Tenderloin area. I don't know if you've ever heard of it, but I hadn't at the time, and I was just appalled that a place like that existed in the United States. It was so sad. It was a square mile of about 30,000 people. Now, this was 10 years ago, so there's probably more than that there now. They were homeless. They were addicted. Many were mentally ill, just lost their way in life. And we would go and knock on doors and offer them food and invite them to a mission just down the street. And one young man one day left with us after we knocked on his door. But he was so jittery, and he just rambled. None of his words made any sense. I don't know if he was hopped up on something or what, but it scared me a little bit. I couldn't connect to him at all, so I just kind of shrunk back and let it go. And later that night, when I was praying, I was very convicted that I had missed an opportunity with him. And so I asked God to give me another chance, though I thought it was rather slim with 30,000 people on the streets. But God, of course, made a way. I saw him a few nights later when we were just walking the streets, our team was at night, and he was sitting by himself, leaning against the wall, just rambling. And I grabbed a few friends and stopped to speak to him, ask him if we could pray, if we could lay hands on him. He started to calm down a little bit. And then I felt the need to ask him, can you speak the name of Jesus? Can you speak that over yourself? Because there's a couple of scriptures saying that if you can speak the name of Jesus, that you can activate, you know, the Holy Spirit inside of you. I'll never forget this moment. All that rambling nonsense coming out of his mouth just stopped, and he began to sing. Tell me this. No, it wouldn't tell me this. Jesus loves me. This I know, for the Bible tells me so. Little ones to him belong. They are weak, but he is strong. I just started to cry thinking somebody, sometime, somewhere sang over that little boy. Somebody rocked him to sleep. Somebody prayed for him. And Jesus was showing me, I'm right here. I'm inside this young man. And you get to be a part of me getting this child back home. I don't know if a mama or grandma was still praying for him, but those prayers had been before the Lord all those years. It was just beautiful to know God is so faithful. Even when we're faithless, he never leaves us. He answers every prayer. There's a great scripture in Hebrews 13, 5 and 6 that I often talk about because I'm so blown away about it. It's when they're quoting an Old Testament, never will I leave you, never will I forsake you. So we can say with confidence, the Lord is my helper. I will not be afraid. What can mere mortals do to me? Well, the promise to never leave is in the Old Testament in Hebrew, and it's structured not as a double negative, but a five times negative. So if you wrote it out in the Hebrew, it would read like this: never, never, never will I leave you. Never, never will I forsake you. Doesn't that sound like a mama or a daddy when you're talking to a child? Never, never, never will I leave you. Never, never will I forsake you. God is so intent in letting us know that he's got you. He is not leaving you. You've got this, God says, because I've got you. I've got your prayers. And no doubt in this group, he would add, and you've got one another. I've never been a part of a mom's group, but I had the joy of a similar experience. After a woman's retreat, God laid 12 young women on my heart that I saw a real hunger for God in, and I thought we could just meet during the summer once a week. And so I emailed them. Each one of them said yes, which that told me God was up to something. So a few of them were friends, but mostly they were just acquaintances, and that soon changed. Holy Spirit did something new and wonderful each week, and none of us wanted it to end. But with September coming, work schedule, school schedule, it forced us to. So I'd gotten this idea from the book, The Circle Maker, to circle one girl for 1 month with one request. One girl, 1 month, one request, and we'd all pray for her. And so I wrote down everybody's name on a piece of paper, and we prayed over it, asking God, would you pick the right name for the right month? Because God knows what's coming. And so then just trusted God and drew the name. And that would be our Miss September. And for 1 month, we'd pray one thing for that one young lady. And I am not exaggerating. The things the Lord did in those lives were outstanding and astounding, life-changing, life-preparing. We did it for several years because nobody wanted to quit. When 1 month would finish, we'd get together and meet, and that young woman got to tell the group all the ways the Lord worked in their life that month, and then we'd hear from the next one. Miss October would be coming up, and we'd hear her one request and begin our prayers for her. And I really, still to this day, look back on that time and see how incredible the Lord was to go before these young women. They got hit so hard, so many of them, with betrayal and divorce and cancer and loss of loved ones. It just seemed to be one thing after another. After about the first couple of years, they began to get bombarded. And I thought about the goodness of God, not only preparing them to pray for one another, but just giving them this circle of friends. They became so tight. They were the kind of people that would, we've been talking about love shows up. They would show up for one another and pray each other through whatever. And I thought about this group. It may be something that your tables would like to do. You're going to be breaking for several weeks, right? Maybe you would want to pick one thing that stands out to you that you would really like to be prayed for. You're going to leave. I'm going to finish here in a minute. But the couple of discussion questions, maybe think about what would your one request be? Or if you didn't want to do that, what's that one thing, like I mentioned earlier, that your takeaway from these weeks in prayer that you want to implement that really stood out to you? Well, I wanted to end today by just making a few prayer declarations over you, over your children, and over this group. So I strung some scriptures together, paraphrased a few promises, and would like to read them over you, as if God is speaking, if that's okay. Your leaders have a handout. They can give it to you afterwards if you want a copy of it. I once prayed for a granddaughter who had a headache. She was complaining. I was keeping her that day, and I just, well, let me pray for you. So I did, and when I opened my eyes, her eyes were wide open. She was probably about 7, and she goes, KK, you can't be Jesus. I was like, well, I could try. I can try. So that's what I want to do, with your permission, is if you'd let me be Jesus for a few minutes and speak some things over you. You can keep your eyes open, you can shut them, just however you might best position yourself to receive some promises from the Lord over your life. So to every mama in this room, every leader, Jesus says, you've got this. I am with you. I am for you. And if God be with you, who can stand against you? You have no lack, for I have blessed you with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. I have clothed you in compassion, in kindness, in humility, in gentleness, and patience. So ask widely of me and boldly of me. My God will meet your every need. For which one of you, if your child asks for bread, would give him a stone? Or if they ask for a fish, will give him a snake? If you know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will my heavenly Father give good things to those who ask him? So do not be anxious. Do not fear. Cast all your cares on me. I will bear them for you. I went to the cross for them. So come to me with your weariness and burdens, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. As you partner with me, I will do immeasurably more all that you ask or imagine, for every word of encouragement you give, every act of kindness, every step of faith, every prayer, every praise, even a cup of cold water given in my name is acknowledged by me and will be rewarded. For you see, all that you do for the least of these, you do for me. In this world, you will have trouble, but take heart. I've overcome the world. My Holy Spirit will be your comfort and your strength. My compassions are new every morning. My goodness and my mercy follow you every day of your life. And to your babies, to your children, I say, let the little children come to me. Do not hinder them, for the kingdom of God belongs to them. They are fearfully and wonderfully made. Know that full well. My love for your babies is monumental. My loyalty toward them, astronomical. They are the apple of my eye. They make me spin wildly about in joy. Angels watch over each one, and I too am in their midst, a warrior to save. I will quiet them with my love, sing songs of delight over them, for they are precious in my sight and honored, and I love them. I love them with an everlasting love. I love them with an unconditional love, and I will never, 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 never leave them, not even for a moment. And to this mom's group, know this, my Spirit has anointed you, empowered you, called you to bring good news to the poor, to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim freedom to the captives, to comfort all who mourn, to be a light in the darkness, a shelter in the storm. Speak truth and love over one another. Together, you will rebuild places that have been devastated for generations. All who see will acknowledge that you are a people that the Lord has blessed, a planting of the Lord for the display of his splendor. You've got this, because I've got you. Amen.